Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Diving right back into it. Happy Kentucky Derby race on Saturday. Cougar Chow, Momo, Mac Attack.
The names keep growing.
You got more?
Oh, we got more, baby. Chad McConkey from the 816.
That's a good one. I like it. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Chad McConkey.
Mac's new name could be Low Rent Lad.
You're like cardboard box lad, bro. Like, I'm not going to lie. Hey, you're like dude under the bridge at 435 in Warnell, McConkey. Like, that's you.
Oh, these hips are loose, baby.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you out there doing like the Dak Prescott stretches?
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah.
Chad McConkey.
Chad McConkey's beautiful.
Oh, that's great. Oh, Chad McConkey. Beakley weighed in on a text message, said that Xavier really ran 4.21.
Gotcha.
I tell you about 4.21.
Who did he weigh in on his horse for the weekend, too?
Whoever pees first or last.
Yeah, whoever pees right before, right?
Yeah. They empty the bladder to make them faster.
Yeah.
According to the mutter, Mr. Beakley.
That's what he says. Hey, look, he studies horse, man.
Yep. 2-5 today on the drive, Beakley and Rob.
Yeah.
More Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Mountain Dew and chocolate donuts. Breakfast of champions.
That's Binkley right there in a nutshell with a dip in. Man, I'll tell you what.
I will say that is a guilty pleasure, those like Hostess chocolate donuts.
Dude, get the donuts from Hy-Vee now. Ooh, They're freshly fried every day. Yeah, pick up those donuts at Hy-Vee. You'll thank me for that, I promise you. You go in there, you get those donuts. They're beautifully fried and delicious. And hot.
Yeah, somebody said on the text line like a week ago, thanks a lot, guys, for referencing the Hy-Vee donuts. Now you're I welcome. Can't stop.
Yeah, absolutely. When something's good, we're going to tell you about it, man. Get on to Hy-Vee, get those donuts, bring them in for your office today, right? Mm. Do something nice for somebody on a Friday.
Not mad about that. Somebody that's doing something nice for an entire team is Michael Garcia, boys.
Boy, I love this guy right now. And I don't think it's out of my, you know, hyperbolic chamber to say that, like, he's the second best player on the Royals. And I watched this guy, and I've been watching him, like, for the last 3 years now, and have always liked Michael Garcia. Last year, he didn't have such a good year, right? And he's one of those guys, I'm like, I really like this guy. He's just a good player, right? He is your best infielder other than Bobby Witt. I mean, to me, he is your best infielder right now on this roster other than Bobby Witt Jr. And we spend so much time, you know, in sports and in life, really, for that matter. I mean, I'm just looking up at ESPN, what's not working, what does, you know, we never spend time on the good stuff in sports. And like, it's easy to sit here and bitch and moan that Vinny isn't hitting where he needs to be hitting, or, you know, whoever else, right? But Michael Garcia is one of these guys who's hitting now close to 300, had a beautiful day yesterday, and he feels like the second best player on this team, in my opinion. He's having a hell of a start, playing multiple positions, going out there, one day he's in left, one day he's in center, one day he's in right, one day he's at second, one day he's at third. I mean, this guy is playing all over the diamond. He's consistently good, and he gives your team a chance to win every single day when he steps out on the field. I don't know if they're above 500 without Garcia on the team right now, because that's how good and important that he's been to this team. And other than Bobby Witt, which we're getting into that same kind of Mahomes category, other than Patrick Mahomes, other than Bobby Witt, he is the MVP, the second most valuable player on this team right now. And I'm not including the pitchers, obviously, but from a positional standpoint, he's your second best player in this organization.
Not the what you just said, just the top text, Mac. Yes. And I think it was one of those things where, like, this lineup was desperate and this lineup needed somebody. Didn't matter who. Could have been Massey, could have been Isbell, could have been Mac, you know, Chad McConkey. Michael Garcia took last year and, you know, ended it with a big old piece of humble pie, got with, oh, I don't know, George Brett in the offseason. And Brett's like, we talked about hitting. I like this guy. He's talented. I told him, stop trying to hit home runs. Mm-hmm. Just hit line drives and you'll be successful. I'm not giving George Brett all the credit. I'm giving all the credit to Michael Garcia, because there are some guys that we know on record who took George Brett's advice and said, I'll be fine.
You mean MJ playing in Omaha right
100%,
now?
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And we have audio to prove that. George, like, you know, tried to tell him, keep that top hand on the ball, kind of stay closer into it. And he was like, yeah, okay. And one guy now is hitting .295 and is the second best hitter on your lineup. The other guy is in AAA and can't hit the baseball.
Well, he had the hardest hit in Omaha history last night, they told us.
Yeah. And
that and 50 cents will get you a phone call.
Wait till Caglione gets up to AAA. But the thing is that, like, you needed this. And it's no surprise that the team is starting to find their groove hitting-wise. And they're starting to put up more runs and get more hits and get more action in that lineup, because other people are starting to hit, and it's contagious. It's Bobby Witt Jr., 22-game hit streak. Oh, but don't forget about me over here, Michael Garcia, who's had 5 of his last 7 games be like multiple hit games. That's not the actual stat, but it seems like every time he comes up to the plate, he's either getting a hit, or every time he plays a game, he's getting a 2-hit game, and it's in a good moment. He can run. He can steal. I know he's been thrown out more this year than he has in his entire career. That will even itself out. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking him to steal 50 bags, but, you know, hit 280 and steal 30 to 35 bags this year, where Bobby Witt Jr. could hit 315, 320 and steal 40. What do we talk about this team? Defense, pitching, and speed. Michael Garcia, defense and speed. Bobby Witt Jr., defense and speed. And if you do have this little lull in your lineup where Salvador Perez, who's finally starting to come around and hit the ball a little bit better, he does miss some time, you feel a little bit better with Michael Garcia doing what he's doing. And let's not also forget about Drew Waters. Like, yeah. Drew Waters is absolutely playing out of his mind.
That was a great trade that they made. And you know, that was right before Dayton was moved out, and they traded like a draft pick for Drew Waters.
Atlanta gave up on him.
And the Royals were like, we'll take him here. And for a little bit of time, it looked like, you know, things weren't going to go in the right direction. with Drew Waters, but he's figured it out. He's turned it around, and now he's hitting, you know, close to 300. And so Michael Garcia is just a guy that you can definitely win with. And the George Brett stuff is very interesting to me, because if you're a Major League Baseball player, and I know we're in an era now where a lot of people don't care about the past, and they don't look at history, and it doesn't matter to them because it didn't happen in their lifetime. But if you're a Major League Baseball player, especially on a team like the Royals, and you have one of the greatest hitters, one of the top five hitters to have ever played the game at your beck and call for advice whenever you need it, why aren't you talking to George Brett all the time about what made him successful? Because the only thing that's changed in the game has been the front offices hiring nerds to cloud everybody's judgment. If I'm a Major League Baseball player, sorry, I'm not listening to any of the analytic guys. I'm listening to George Brett. That man chased 400. That man hit 390. That man is a career 300 hitter. You know what? I appreciate all your stats and your nerd stuff. I'm going to go talk to the Hall of Famer and see how he did it. Because when George was doing it back in his day, it was not hard. It was very simplified. And that's what, you know, going back to the old stories of his hitting coach, Charlie Lau, and how they kind of worked on things and came up together. You know, that's what it was all about, simplifying this thing. And it sure seems like Michael Garcia has simplified this thing. And if it's a conversation with George Brett to tell him how to do that, all of these guys need to be having conversations with the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest hitters of all time. Stop worrying about what the front office is telling you from a statistical analytical standpoint and go talk to a man who's done it before. And that's what I think is so important. Like, if these guys aren't utilized, I've never understood that. You've got George Brett right there to use any time you want as a player on this team, and you're not taking advantage of that, you're an idiot. You really are. And so when you hear the Michael Garcia, well, I listened to George and now I'm hitting close to 300. And then you look at MJ, who didn't listen to George, hit 087, is now wasting time at Omaha. You tell me what you are going to do in those type of situations. These guys ought to be calling George like it's nobody's business. Mike Sweeney, very successful big league hitter you have on the ability to call. Reggie Sanders. There's a lot of guys in this organization that had success hitting. And if you're not, pick up the phone and call those guys, because they'll tell you how to do it.
For reference, this is what George said on opening day this year.
I liked his approach a little bit better. He got rid of the big high kick. He's got his hands in a better position to start a swing. Every once in a while, it's really, really good. And then every once in a while, once it goes back to that last year swing. And I've had conversations with him telling him that, hey, if I was you, I would just take my top hand off all the time. And he's just a hard guy to get through to. And, hopefully his way works. It didn't work last year, in my opinion, and it worked some in spring training this year. He still strikes out a lot, but when he hits the ball, he hits it awfully hard. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's a strong kid. He's a real strong kid. We just got to cut down those strikeouts. That's all we got to do.
And that was Brett on MJ Melendez.
Yeah, and
the strikeouts have continued. The strikeouts have continued in AAA. Humble yourself. Be like, hey, George, it's MJ. I apologize. I'm ready to listen.
That's right. Hey, George, it's MJ.
Yeah. Hey, George, it's Michael Garcia. Thank you. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not hard, man. Like, people in sports continue to make this stuff harder than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Harder than it needs to be with analytics. Harder than it needs to be with every single situation mapped out for you. George Brett, hey, man, what do you think? Keep your top hand on the bat, or let your top hand go off the bat. Make sure you follow through. Keep your eye on the ball. Hit it the opposite direction. Stop trying to hit home runs and go out there. And I'm obviously oversimplifying that, but that's what George Brett can do for these guys, because he's been there. He's done that. He understands what it's like to stand in that batter's box. There are too many people in sports today, and I hate to be the never done it guy, but if you got a guy who's never done it versus a guy that's a Hall of Famer and one of the top of all time, who are you going to listen to? You got to be listening to George Brett. One guy did. He's having a great season. The other guy didn't. He's picking daisies in Omaha.
No doubt. Good to see. Glad to have Michael Garcia hitting.
Great.
Glad to have Drew Waters hitting. Glad to have Bobby Witt Jr. being the hottest player on the planet outside of the name of Darren Judge. And then the text line said, Garcia kind of gives me Kane vibes.
I don't know if I'm to that level yet. Michael Garcia just gives me good baseball player vibes. Gives me the vibe of, like, that's a potential. Like, if you list jerseys you want to buy, he's kind of on that list right now for me. You know, like, he's one of those type of guys, man. Like, it's just, and those are the guys you need to have success, right? You're not going to have 15 Bobby Witts. All of your role players need to step it up. And he's done a great job of taking advantage of an opportunity and coming back off a down season. Had a good season, then he had a down season. Mm-hmm. And now he's having a good season again. And there's something to be said about that, too, for those guys to go out there and come back from a bad season. Like, Garcia's been great this year.
How did the Royals acquire Drew Waters? I'll tell you. The Braves traded Waters, CJ Alexander, and Andrew Hoffman to the Kansas City Royals in exchange for the 35th overall pick in the 2022 Major League Baseball draft, a competitive balance pick that Atlanta used on J.R. Richie. Thank you, the Atlanta Braves.
I don't know who J.R. Richie is.
Sounds like a real estate agent.
Hi, I'm J.R. Richie. Come on down to the TV store and buy your new TV today. Our prices are nuts.
I can't imagine Bob Fesco disagreeing with the decision that was made yesterday of a dad getting banned from his son's games for obvious reasons. Yeah, we'll get to that on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Boy, it's not in your local karaoke bar in Overland Park. You might find Bob Fesco.
No, you won't.
No, he'll be on the patio.
No, they got soccer tonight. We got a graduation party tonight. A lot going on. No chance I'm at a karaoke bar.
Busy.
Very busy night. Very busy. I don't know that I sing karaoke either. I think I've only done that one time in my life at the Red Balloon.
Really?
I don't even think the Red Balloon. 99 Red Balloons? No,
oh.
I wish I would have. I think you sang Piano Man with my friend Paul. We were at the Red Balloon. I don't think the Red Balloon's open anymore. They used to serve Kraft mac and cheese as one of their staples there. Great dive bar. But not 99 Red Balloons. That's a banger.
Yeah, I like the German version better.
99 Luftballoons.
Yeah, Luftballoons. Going back to the Mikel Garcia thing, I thought this was interesting. We were talking in between the show. The luxury of having a pitching staff that is maybe the best in the AL, we'll see Seattle here shortly, but they could contend with that conversation as well. Having a good pitching staff and see Mikel Garcia is a blessing in disguise, because if you only had like two starters, like let's say you only had Reagans and Bubich this year.
Okay.
Let's say Lugo was just absolutely, you know, terrible. Waka couldn't find the plate. And Lorenzen's, he's doing curls
and kissing his bicep, but can't throw a strike.
More power to him. Mikel Garcia would be the one player that the Royals would shop to see if they get an arm.
No doubt. Yeah.
Now you don't have to do that.
Exactly. And that's a great point to bring up, because he's now, I don't want to use the term luxury, because that's what Josh called Ben Zobrist when we got him, and it proved to be not a luxury, a need, for the team. And you kind of made that comparison when we were talking in break a little bit. But now you get the opportunity to just let this kid go out there and play and not have to worry about flipping him for a pitcher. Pitching is hard to acquire. The Royals do have a surplus, shockingly, one of the teams in baseball that has a surplus at starting pitching. Shockingly, that anybody has a surplus of starting pitching in baseball today, but the Royals do. I mean, we saw it the other night with Chillicothe on the mound. Like, you can start moving forward now and starting to think, okay, if we need to get to a certain spot where we do need to acquire that bat, then maybe Chris Bubich is a guy that can be potentially, traded for a great bat to come back and return.
Right.
But if Vinny starts picking it up and Mikel Garcia continues to do this and Drew Waters becomes a regular in the lineup, the need for a bat kind of dissipates a little bit. Not saying it goes away, but maybe you don't need as big and as powerful a bat as you would have needed if those guys aren't picking it up. And you can go get like a tier B bat and not have to give up as much like they did last year when they rebuilt that bullpen.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that that you do have this, luxury. I know you say you don't like that, but you do have that, because that has not been Zobrist or Mikel Garcia this year. That is your pitching staff, right?
That's what you're saying.
Like, you don't have to necessarily, and at this point, maybe you don't have to trade anybody. Right? Because, like, if Garcia does continue to do this, and Drew Waters is a surprise that you have this year because he's finally healthy, he's finally got a shot, he's tired of Omaha, and it's using that to kind of rebrand himself. Bobby does his thing. Sal comes back from this little hiccup, and Vinny starts figuring out that it's May, and he's got to get his, act together. Then all of a sudden, like, your 1-6 is your 1-6. And if you're going to carry that and, basically reverse the pitching thing, where it's like in the 14, 15, 16 years, it was all we need is a 1-run lead after the 7th inning.
Yeah.
Now it's like, if you just have a 2-run lead after
the first,
you essentially can use your starting pitching to keep you in that game, because it's done it all year. Again, like, I think the best pitching staff, at least in the AL, I know there's other people that may argue with Seattle, whoever, but it is nice that you don't have to eventually be like, man, I like this Michael Garcia guy, but man, he's a hell of a big piece of trade bait here.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
He's not.
Which
no.
is nice.
It's great.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, with the pitching staff, the way that it's been, their staff ERA, we talked about earlier, 2.14 since April 20th. It's been unbelievable. That's also going to revert back to the mm-hmm. means, right? There will be some games where the pitching isn't there. And now that the hitting's starting to, you know, kind of warm up a little bit, look what happened. They went to a warm climate in Tampa.
In a minor league park.
Take the minor league park out. I'm not going to
because Bobby's homer yesterday was a total minor league homer.
Yeah, but so what?
Like, it's a home run.
It's where you're playing these games. But
it is what it is.
But you just need to see a little success, mm-hmm. right? Now, again, the weather's warming up. They're going to Baltimore. It's probably going to be humid there. It's the most humid place I've ever been in my entire
life.
Another small ballpark. Exactly. You got the opportunity to continue this going. You've seen 3 days of success. You got warm, you got, you know, the bats going in the right direction. Now you continue that. And again, it's a losing team again in Baltimore. Keep a losing team losing. That's your job. That's your number one job on this road trip. And so far you're 3-0.
No doubt about it. Somebody on the text line says, Dusty, who would you rather spot during squats, Lorenzen or Cags? Yes. I'd rather see both of them do curls other than squats. I'm not a big squats guy, but apparently Drew is.
You have to if you're going to be a pitcher. If you're not working out your legs as a pitcher, man, legs, you're doing it wrong.
Legs and ass is what you have to do.
Look at Nolan Ryan. Look at his legs, man. That's why he was able. Roger Clemens, same type of way. Some of the great pitchers of all time. It's all about those legs. Lorenzen's got a pair of legs on him, man. I'll tell you what.
I'm glad you brought those two names up because I saw a baseball meme and it said, Roger Clemens threw 0 no hitters and won 7 Cy Youngs.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan threw 7 no hitter. Yeah. So threw 7 no hitters and never won a Cy Young.
Isn't that crazy that Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young? Arguably the greatest pitcher in the history of this game, and he's never won a Cy Young award. Friend of the show as well, but never, ever won a Cy Young award. Cy Young never won a Cy Young either. Can you imagine that?
That'd be like the equivalent of Peyton Manning never winning an MVP. Thanks. One of the best quarterbacks of your generation, never won MVP. Now, Nolan Ryan's, to his defense, there was also Steve Carlton in his era.
Yeah, there was a lot of good pitchers, yeah. But he's still Nolan Ryan. He's still the best of the best, you
7
know?
No-hitters. So yesterday, the news came out of Indiana. We were talking about this, I believe, on Tuesday.
It's Jonathan India.
Yeah. The Indiana Pacers, for the foreseeable future, starting today and ending no time set, Halliburton Sr. is not allowed at home games in Indiana. I don't know about road games, but I know that he is not allowed.
Road
or home games for the foreseeable future for his actions of interfering in his son's game, trying to spark some sort of troll job with Giannis.
Who do you think made that decision? Do you think it was the team? Do you think it was the son? Or do you think it was the father actually being a man and saying, hey, man, I'm sorry. I effed that up. I'm not coming anymore.
I think it's ownership. I think, but in hindsight, I think the decision came after Halliburton, the player, after what he said in the press conference.
I think the son went to the father and goes, sorry, Dad, man, like I can't have you doing that. I have a hard time believing that the team did that without the player's blessing. And so I think the son went to the old man and said, Dad, that was uncalled for. I can't have that. I've got bigger things to focus on right now. I can't have to worry about you being a jackass.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think it was a little overboard for me personally, but just send him up in the rafters or something. Send him in 130 and normal
you
section. Can't
you don't need to be babysitting somebody and worry
not
about this.
And now it is babysitting. Down, yeah, you know, I'm with Dusty on this. Get him the hell out of the arena. It's one less thing you got to worry
here's
about.
Here's my thing. You effed up. You pay the consequence.
That's right.
Stop breaking the law, a-hole.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's the thing. Is like, you made it about you, and now we're going to make this rule about you. Again, like, I'm with you. Like, I think after this year, sure. But you're no longer allowed in this
area. Like, if they
area.
Make the Eastern Conference Finals, his dad
sorry,
can't go.
Sorry, no, you're out. No, yeah.
You want to hear a story?
Don't be a jerk.
I got hammered in college and told my professors that I was going to go home for homecoming weekend, and it was a mandatory thing that we had to go. You can call Joe Moore, my professor at UCM. We had to go cover homecoming's game. Everybody would be there. I was trying to go to Kegs and Eggs, and I lied to my professor. Unfortunately, I had a rat in my class that saw me walking home sideways like a zombie out of my mind and told our professor. The next week, the President of the United States came to our campus, and I was not allowed to go because I lied and effed up. I could have met the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it because I messed up. I'm sorry.
We've all been there. Yeah.
I don't care if Indiana goes to the finals. You ruined it yourself, sir. Good day. You lose, sir.
Good day. Yeah. No, you do. Like, I'm not in this to make everybody's feelings happy and all this kind of stuff. You effed up, you pay the consequences. And it's about time we're starting to hold people accountable again.
And you know what? That decision changed my life. When that happened to me,
it's huge, right? I bet. Yeah.
Like all my friends in my class, all my classmates, handshaking Obama, you know, whatever. I don't care who the president is.
That's cool, man. You want to meet the president of the United States.
All my family's like, are you going to be at UCM today? I heard the president's going to be there. All the news outlets are like, no, I'm at home. Why? Let me tell you. And from that day forward, I was like, get your ass in gear, graduate college, live out your career. And I'm probably not the person I am today if that doesn't happen to me. And Halliburton's dad, I'm sorry, man. You broke the rules. You trolled an athlete. You made it about yourself on a series win.
Right. What should have been being celebrated, you know, for your son and the way that he played in that series and the way that the team played. They beat Giannis and Milwaukee. Like, that's a big-time win for the Pacers as an organization. Nobody's talking about that. They're talking about Pops being, like, you know, shooter from Hooters out there. Or Hoosiers, I should say. Not Hooters, but whatever. But Hoosiers stumbling around on the court acting like a jackass, embarrassing your son, man. Yeah. Did you ever have your parents embarrass you as a child?
No.
No? Mac, did you ever have your parents embarrass you? Maybe they're currently embarrassing you.
Like I that. Don't know. No,
neither did mine. One time, my dad, he tried to, you know, hold the chains at a high school football game, and he tried to hop the fence, and that didn't go well.
Aww.
And they're like, "Is that your dad?" I'm like, "No, I don't know who that is."
You know? Like Heisler in the Lambo Leap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
remember
that? Yeah, video? Yeah.
Is that your dad?
Exactly. Yeah, my parents. Like, I've never really kind of been in that situation other than that. But I remember that one. That was a minor type thing. Yeah. You
get over
but
that.
Like you're in the NBA, and your old man's out there on the court with a towel with your picture on it, standing in front of arguably the greatest player on earth, making it all about you. Like, you deserve everything that's coming for you, man. I'm tired of letting people get away with stuff and everybody just looking the other way and go, oh, he was having a bad moment. He had a bad day. His moral support peacock wasn't available, and so that's why he did that. So we're going to give him a free pass. Nah, kick rocks, pal.
Too strong for me.
And to your defense, foreseeable future is the most vague punishment.
Yeah, no idea what that means.
You're
that could
grounded
be next week.
For the foreseeable future. You can have your game system back on Sunday.
Exactly.
You know what's going to happen. He'll be back in the building and nobody will even know about it.
Hopefully. That's the way it should have been.
And then it'll be like, he served a consequence and now he's going to be fine.
Yeah, but the Giannis conversation
about the crime, too.
Where he says, you know, my mom, after we won the championship, didn't know she could come out on the court. Yeah. She was allowed out there. And he was talking about all of that. And then you see Halliburton's father. I mean, sorry, pal.
They didn't even let Akeem Olajuwon get on the stage of the final.
I know, right? Like, they don't let Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing in the garden without proper credentials.
Good thing Rip Hamilton and Rasheed Wallace got a first row seat of the loss last night. Love to see that.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Kentucky Derby weekend, which means we're going to go through some horses, baby, some mutters.
What's it supposed to be? Mud?
I didn't know what it because, like, Beakley just kept saying it.
He finally
discovered this word. He's like, yeah, Henry Lake, big mutter. I'm like, mutter?
They can run
it.
It's supposed to be wet, I think, at the Derby this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
So you're good at running in mud.
Yeah. Are these horses mutters? Their mother was a mutter. If their mother was a mutter, then you're going to be a mutter. Apparently, there are two horses in this race that are sons of Triple Crown winners, Binkley has told me.
Mm. Okay.
Let me see who they are.
I was going to say, which ones are they?
Well, let me.
He said two or three.
Let me see again.
I think there's three.
American Promise and Publisher are sons of Triple Crown winners.
Okay.
And don't forget, go see Lauren buried over there in Prairie Village in the middle of the street.
One word on journalism that is the
fake
favorite horse.
Oh.
Yeah, not real.
Not real.
You know, we're journalists.
We're not.
According to some that tweet in and want us fired.
Yeah, we're not journalists. We're entertainers.
Mm.
And that's the way I look at it. We're in show business. We're not journalists. We entertain for a living. Journalism dead.
Wow.
It is. I mean,
he'll be alive this weekend, tomorrow, when he wins.
You know, but he's the favorite in the race, so I'll go favorite. That's the horse I'm betting on. I got a degree in journalism, that and toilet paper, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I will go with journalism as my winner.
He's 3-1.
Yeah.
I will go with show.
Okay.
Well, all right.
First place in show is how they rank horse races. I did my homework last night.
Win place and show, baby. Yeah. So you got him at third?
Show. I got him at third.
That was always the, like, we used to go to the track when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Jersey had tracks. You could go gamble, all that kind of stuff.
Hell yeah.
$2 to show. That way, if they won all three, man, that was a big deal. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And you knew when that hit because that guy was going,
yeah, because he just won a $2 show bet that paid him a nickel.
Heck yeah, dude.
And he's got the race form. He's ready.
One word on sovereignty, 5-1.
What is the definition of that word?
Sovereignty is the right to vote.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
That is. All right.
So I will say he's the second favorite place.
Hey.
There we go.
Veto. Go away. Don't do it. Go with better odds to win more money. Even though you can't horse race bet in Kansas, DraftKings gave me all the ways to how you can bet on it and what the betting means.
Yeah, and then can't Kansas, you can't do it. I don't know. Maybe Missouri will have that when they get the legalized gambling move forward, unless somebody's got a silver box that they're going to complain about. Mm. I don't know. What
maybe an underdog, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. One word on Sandman, 6-1.
Enter.
Mm. Yeah, that was mine too.
Yeah, ECW. That guy used to hit himself in the head with a beer. Like in the break, go to YouTube and type in Sandman ECW. He'd come out to that song, smash a beer over his forehead until he was bleeding, then jeez, chug it, and he came out with like a kendo stick. It was awesome.
Kendo stick?
Yeah. It's like a giant wooden stick that you hit people with.
Damn.
Yeah. Sandman. Oh, he was definitely beer gut, bleeding from the forehead, soaked in beer before he even entered inside the turnbuckles.
One word for you?
ECW.
ECW. Okay. One word on Beza?
Yeah. This interesting is the one that I'll use on this because he just entered the race.
Okay.
He's replacing Rodriguez, who was scratched with a foot bruise.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
So interesting. This
soon
is,
to be glue.
Yeah, exactly. That you're not kidding. This.
Look at the Elmer's logo, dude.
I know. I mean,
it all makes sense when you get older.
These horses get any sort of injury, they're done. It's
sucks,
over.
Dude. I hate it.
So I will go interesting, and he's a 12-1 shot on this one, which means he's a pretty decent horse to have those kind of odds as a replacement. So I'll go interesting on this one.
What's the horse's name again?
Beza.
Beza.
There's also a rapper out of California with that same name. I don't know if the rapper's named after the horse or the horse is named after the rapper.
Beza, one word, Amazon.
There we go.
Is the horse's first name Jeff?
Sovereignty, supreme power or authority.
Oh, it doesn't mean the right to vote.
No, I believe that is suffrage, maybe.
Oh, well, maybe.
One word on Burnham Square.
Cigarette. If I have a great Saturday night in Springfield, I'm going to be that horse, Burnham Square, dude. Like, light me up one, as long as it's not a menthol.
Burnham Square. I will say winner.
Oh, going 12-1. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Calling your shot.
I kind of like this one. I kind of like this one. He won the Bluegrass Stakes.
Oh, okay. That means a lot for me. Okay.
Little bit of history here with this one.
One word.
Kind of on a roll. They've been winning a little bit lately, so.
They're hot.
Yeah.
Publisher. One word. 20-1 is publisher in this Saturday's Kentucky Derby.
I'm going to go books.
Publisher 20-1. Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
Because if you win that, you clear the house.
You do, man. Clean Ed McMahon shows up with a big
floors
check.
Floors and stand tall. Because no one's ever been here.
This may be your horse.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Dusty, one word on Rendered Judgment, 30-1.
Toby. R.I.P. to the Keith, man. This is Toby Keith's horse. Never got to see it run in the Kentucky Derby because unfortunately he passed away and he left us too soon. Should have been a cowboy.
Is
how
he
do you
really,
like me now?
What is Toby Keith's?
Heck yeah,
huh?
I don't
that
make that
cool
stuff up.
Wow.
Yeah, Toby Keith's horse, Rendered Judgment, 30-1. If I could bet on a horse, I would put $30 on Rendered Judgment. Should have been a cowboy. Toby Keith, R.I.P.
I'm going to go with Sooner.
Boomer.
That's right.
Boomer. Yep.
Toby Keith played football at Oklahoma, if you didn't know that, by the way.
Him and what's his name? Stoops. They're boys.
Oh,
yeah.
Were. And if you don't vote for Render Judgment, he'll put a boot in your ass because that's the American way.
That is the American way.
And they'll light up your sky like the 4th of July.
I love that song. That's a great song. Can that replace the one that they always use now?
Proud to be an American?
Yeah. Can we replace Proud to be an American, please, with that song?
If you don't hear, like, courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
And ready to grab a beer and go kick somebody's ass. You know, yeah.
Put a boot in someone's ass.
I'm going to tell you, that song doesn't get you fired up. That's the song that needs to be playing instead of that proud to be an American thing.
FYI, Publishers Clearinghouse just filed for bankruptcy.
They did?
It's according to the tax line.
Oh, wow.
Ah.
I want my house.
One word on Final Gambit, 30-1.
Ooh.
Long shot.
I like this one's name.
I do too. Yeah.
Final Gambit's good.
Are you an X-Men fan?
I do like X-Men.
Mm-hmm. It is from the X-Men comics. I don't know if they're named after that. But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for the new Fantastic Four movie.
One word is fun. I like that name. Final Gambit. Yeah. Render Judgment and Final Gambit, both 30-1s. They're the long shots.
They're saying this is the gray horse you're supposed to bet on. I don't know what that means.
Okay, I was going to ask.
He was brown.
It says gray/roan horses aren't uncommon, but there haven't been many to win the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, okay.
Only 8 have achieved that feat, with Giacomo being the last in 2005. Ooh. 20 years later, 3 gray roan horses are set to be in the run for the roses. Besides having a color in common, the horses are all descendants of Secretariat. Sandman and Final Gambit are 5 generations from the legend, while Chunk of Gold is 6 generations from him, related to Alex. So they're all related to Secretariat.
Okay, I'm kind of in.
5 generations removed from that.
Damn.
Is that like, you know, people who are bakers use a yeast starter for years. They go, how old is that starter? And some people in Europe will say that's a 120-year-old yeast starter, that they've been using the same yeast for 120 years.
Damn.
Is that what we're now talking about with horse?
That's exactly it.
Is that what it is? Like 5 generations? Secretariat is from the 70s.
Huh.
Are we?
Yeah, where's the line? When does we get to 2050? Are we still?
I mean, I don't know. Like 5 generations removed, and Chunk of Gold is 6 generations removed now from Secretariat. That's a hell of a child starter right there, a horse starter, if you will. How long have you been using that horse starter? Well, since Secretariat in the 70s.
That's like horseradish.
As they'd say in Game of Thrones, the seed is strong in that family.
Yeah, seriously.
Which one's Bob Baffert's horse? Because isn't he back?
He's back this year, yeah.
Which one? Because that always seems like an evil story, right?
Like, yeah, he's like the George Steinbrenner, if you will.
Whose horse is his?
Let's see. Binkley has said, go with Baffert's Citizen Bull. He is back from suspension, or best mutter is Coal Battle, according to Binkley.
Citizen's Bull is Baffert's horse.
Yep.
Bob Baffert.
Citizen Bull.
He looks like he should have played a bad guy, like one of the Bad Boys movies. Coming up, we have the out of left field question. The question is, before the break, it is, what athlete had 0 haters during their prime?
Oh my God.
I have 3. Text line 913-586-7965. What athlete had 0 haters during their prime? We'll talk about it next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Gambit, according to the text line, is a reference to chess. How dare you bring up nerd comic book stuff, Mac?
It was in the X-Men. I even looked that up, and I'm not a comic book guy, but doing your research, you kind of find out maybe where some of these names come from and what they mean. You type in Final Gambit, X-Men pops up. It's like the first thing.
Mm.
I had no idea about the chess. I've never played chess in my life.
I don't know how to play.
I don't either. I do not. Wow. Man, I do not know how to play. Never played.
I can play backgammon. Can't play chess.
Can't play chess. Wow. What about Mahjong? Have you ever played Mahjong?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
For sure, yeah.
Really?
My games are what are
Mahjong is like some like hard ass like old person game. Like they play down at the rec center there on Metcalf and like 79th every Friday at noon. So I'm going to Romeo's today because Bob DeWitt speaking, one of the great horse owners in town.
Oh, cool.
Had a bunch of horses that ran at Exarban back in the day. So I always love hearing what he has to say for the Kentucky Kentucky Derby because he's in the business, yeah. Right?
Bobby Witt's in the horse race.
He is. Bob DeWitt. Yeah, great, great man, Bob DeWitt. One of the best of all time. And so a lot of the guys will go from the J on Friday. They go play Mahjong down at the rec center at like 79th and Metcalf over there. And so if you want to join them today, feel
absolutely
free to do so.
That's great.
But, or maybe it's Bridge. Either way, it's one of these games that is very complicated. Like Mahjong, I don't understand that game at all.
When you live in Wyoming and you're brothers in Montana, you guys meet up on the weekends, you know, not much to do. It's Mahjong, it's drinking, it's disc golf, it's
yeah. Mahjong for two young strapping lads in the American West.
Yes,
you sat down and played Mahjong.
Yeah, of course.
I almost respect cribbage? That more than hate on it.
Cribbage you played too, huh?
Yeah, I was in cribbage club.
You guys
in
played Risk all weekend too?
That was in high school, man.
Oh
yeah.
My
yeah.
All right, there's Green Onions, Booker T in the background. That's right. 913-586-7965. Bob Mack as well. What athlete in their prime was not hated?
LeBron. That's pretty simple.
Whoa. What?
You think?
No. I was like, prime was Miami when he dropped the not one, not two, not
and
eight.
And that made me like him
hated.
Even more. Though.
Really?
Yeah.
The decision and all that?
Because I didn't find anything wrong with the decision. People wanted to be angry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so they found a way to be angry. Exactly. He did what was best for himself and also gave a lot of money to the Boys and Girls Club. And that always gets left on the table. Like, and so was it the best thing to do? I don't know. You know, optics and everything. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on now with Shador in Cleveland, like where he's doing all these videos, going to schools and all that. Mm-hmm. And one of the hosts in Cleveland goes, I wish they didn't show this. We don't need to see this. Just go do this stuff. It doesn't need to be, you know, and then his agent got all mad at the radio host for saying that. If you have to bring a camera with you, you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're just not. Go do it like Taylor Swift does with no cameras and just sings with the kids in the hospital, right? Mm. So anyway, where am I going with this one? What was it?
Know.
Oh, LeBron. Like, I didn't hate that. I didn't hate that. Yeah. I mean, we all watched. We paid attention. It was unique. It was different. And he was the biggest guy on planet. But no, obviously he has haters.
He did.
I don't know. I don't think there's an answer to that question, Dusty. I know you said you had three. Mm-hmm. But I don't, because no matter how good you are, everybody's going to take beef with you, you know?
I saw one on the text line, but I'm curious, Dusty. Give us your three.
Barry Sanders, Ken Griffey Jr., Cal Ripken Jr.
I'm deferring to Bob. Barry Sanders is the only one where I can go, yeah, I mean, I wasn't alive, but I haven't heard one person be like, oh, Barry, blah, blah, blah.
I think the only people that don't like Barry Sanders are the ones that were mad he retired too early.
Or yeah, exactly. Didn't get to watch more.
That he talked about going through a divorce on our commercials.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
But like, no one's ever like, oh, that effing Barry Sanders. Now, again, I didn't really grow up watching Joe Montana play, but I don't really hear a lot of people that have the same energy they had for like Elway or for like Brady or even for Manning. That
well,
they
I think
had
it was,
for Joe.
I think it was harder to express hate back then because there weren't outlets for people. Like, if you go back to the 80s and bring in X, formerly Twitter, into the conversation, I guarantee you somebody hates Joe Montana. You see that probably a lot, right? You probably, like, we were not allowed or didn't have the resources, however you want to put it, to express ourselves the way that we do today, which is not necessarily a good thing. And so you didn't know like there were haters out there for people, because how were they going to do it? Write a letter to the editor of the local paper? You know, like that was the only way you kind of got to express yourself. So, who'd you say? Barry Sanders, Ken Griffey Jr.
And Cal.
I'm sure there are people that don't like Ken Griffey Jr. because his hat was on backwards. He was always hurt and he beat their team. And then Cal Ripken Jr. I mean, ask Kevin Costner about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at like a unanimous hate. Like you see people I'm just saying like, yes, obviously like, man, I hate that guy. He keeps beating my team. But it's not like a hatred that's like people hate on LeBron. People hate on Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
People hate on Tom
Brady. People
hated
on Kobe, hated on Shaq, hated on Jordan.
My buddy John says Simone Biles.
Great one.
Yeah.
But nobody hates her.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
If you do, I don't know why.
Jerry Rice from the text line.
Oh, that's an interesting one, too. I kind of like that one.
Yep. Ryan Fitzpatrick is another fun one from the text line. Yeah. Not necessarily.
I think people hate him now more as a broadcaster because he's out there more than he was as a player. As a player, like, that's a cool dude who went to Harvard, man, and he's living the great life just kind of being a vagabond. Now he's on TV. He's got birds that live in his beard. You're like, what's going on here?
A lot of people are saying Ichiro on the text line.
It's a good one. Yeah, Ichiro.
I never hated Ichiro.
How could you hate Walter? Yeah.
Sweetness, baby. Mike Trout is...
Mike Trout, yeah.
Hurt again.
Somebody, yeah, he is. Somebody said OJ in his prime and Naked Gun. Nobody,
you know,
hated
what?
Him.
Nobody hated OJ until he murdered people.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Right. No, it's true. I mean, yeah. It really is. Like, OJ was
American treasure.
He was juice.
He was like, he was God's gift to the United States. Everybody loved OJ, man. He resonated with everybody. Everybody was a fan. Everybody loved watching him play football. They loved watching him in Hertz commercials. They loved watching him in movies. Oh, he did what? Oh.
Somebody says Roger Federer had zero haters. I kind of believe that.
No.
No, he had haters?
No, I mean, those three, if you're a Djokovic guy, you hate Federer. If you're a Federer guy, you hate like those. And then what's the third guy?
What does
guy?
The NBA got to do with this? Why do we hate Djokovic?
Roger Federer?
You said Federer, didn't you?
And Roger Federer? You said we hate Jokic.
Djokovic.
Novak
Djokovic. Djokovic, yeah, whatever you want to say. And there's what? Who's the third guy?
Andy Jimmy Rodden. Connors.
Nadal. Oh, Rafael.
Yeah. So
Rafa.
If you're, you know, if you're Jimmy a tennis Connors. Guy, you like Nadal, you hate Federer.
Yeah, fair. Somebody says Serena Williams. She got a ton of hate.
Yeah, she got a lot of hate. Yep.
She's ruining the game.
I mean, most people get the hate because people are just jealous.
Right.
And that's where the hate starts from.
Somebody says, if you define prime as a quarter of a month hot streak, Jeremy Lin and Linsanity could have been a
That's good. Yeah. That is really good. His prime for 2 weeks was
it
wild.
Was nuts, yeah. Though, man, because I remember I had the article that the guy got fired for how he titled the article.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, wow, dude. Like, that's when I first realized. I was like, okay, racism is still evidently obvious in sports, but I wanted to know about Jeremy Lin.
What do we call it? Linsanity?
Linsanity. Yeah.
And that was like for 2 weeks. See what happens when the Knicks have anything remotely yes. good for a hot minute, how it changes sports? Jeremy Lin became a household name in Paducah, Kentucky, which for whatever reason, that was on my sister and I's text thread last night. We can get to. Mm. But you've got people in Paducah, Kentucky, Seguin, Texas, Amarillo, Texas, Nevada, wherever. Everybody was dialed in on Jeremy Lin for that 2 week period. If that happens in Phoenix, nobody's paying attention.
Would you say Michael Jordan?
No, God, no.
Okay.
Oh, he had a lot of hate from his own teammate, Scottie Pippen, who's still bitter about yes. it. Good Lord, Scottie, get over it.
Yeah, it's not his fault. His son's with your ex.
Not anymore.
They broke up.
She's with somebody else now.
She said she had to have sex twice a day, every day for an entire year. That's a
pool smash.
Okay. One I can't believe we didn't think about. I'm so mad we didn't think about this one. It's the obvious. Keanu Reeves. Nobody hates that guy. No athlete, him, yeah. Absolutely. Replacements in Hardball. Great, yeah. Great one, 913. Hardball will make you cry. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh. Gee, baby, RIP.
Have you seen Moneyball?
Yeah, I love Moneyball.
Ruined baseball.
Blake Schneider says, what about Michael Phelps? Well,
people
until he
hated
smoked
him.
Pot.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
When he was fine. And then I was like, God. He smokes weed?
Yeah. Who is the swimmer that took a leak down in Brazil or wherever it was, and everybody lost their
Lochte?
Minds over
yes.
that?
Yes. Ryan Lochte.
Who had the grill?
Total idiot.
He was a dope. Like, literally, legitimately yes. dumb.
He's dumb.
Yeah, but he was good.
Rob Maloney from the 816. Great one.
Not an athlete.
Well.
I wouldn't mess with him.
Top Tech says, Jim Tomey. You should have heard my dad hear how he talked about Jim Tomey.
Really?
And that's a God-fearing Christian man.
Jim Tomey's one of the greatest human beings on earth.
He just didn't like him because he just hammered the Royals. He'd call him Thome.
My neighbor Jeff texts me. He says, Tiger Woods in his prime.
Yeah. The only people that hated Tiger Woods were all the old men that couldn't beat him. And then that one guy that made a super racist comment about his Masters dinner, which I don't remember his name.
Yeah, who was it? Was it Fuzzy Zeller?
I think it was Fuzzy.
Yeah, I think it was Fuzzy Zeller.
Yeah, his comments were just
weird. Yeah, Tiger was loved, man. He was loved.
By many. One game to win. And also, erase my mind. We'll explain what those mean on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.